My lips touch you with their soft, wet kisses. Your hands gentle in reply.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me questions or comments or criticisms or suggestions at bruce@bruceallen.com. It is time for some political talk with Sherrilyn Harley Laban, who served as a political appointee in the George W. Bush administration, as a spokesman at the Republican National Committee, and as a senior counsel for the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. She's a frequent guest on Fox News Channel and national broadcast radio shows, and happily on my show as well. You can follow her on Twitter at Harley, like Harley Davidson, LeBon Bon. Welcome back to the show, Sherrilyn.
Great to be with you, Bruce.
So, the world, of course, nothing happened in the last week since I last talked to you. So,
nope,
you know, what do you want
never.
To talk about? Want to talk about the weather?
We can always talk about the weather.
Actually, the weather's been pretty dramatic in our country this winter. But I'd rather talk about what's going on in the news. And,
right.
You know, my son is struggling in college with his math class because he has to have a required math class. And he says to me, you know, Dad, I haven't done algebra in 4 years because he didn't take a lot of pre-college high-end classes. So the last algebra class he took was like in ninth grade. He's now a sophomore. And so he's struggling a little bit with math and worried about passing this particular class. All else is good. So I'm wondering, do you think our White House has any problems with math, or are they really doing the calculus really well these days?
Well, I think that they have some serious problems with fuzzy math. And I'll tell you, there are two Republican senators in the Senate, and they happen to be doctors. It's Coburn, Senator Tom Coburn from Oklahoma, and then Senator John Barrasco from Wyoming. And they've really done the yeoman's work with respect to Obamacare and the people who've lost their health insurance and predictions and alternative bills, the whole thing. And I like these guys because they're physicians. So way back when in 2010, they predicted that millions were going to lose their health insurance plans. And you know, Bruce, as well as your listeners, that in fact that has sadly come into fruition. So
millions more will be.
Exactly. So as of January, more than 5 million Americans have had their insurance and canceled. But get this, 1.1 million of these cancellations have occurred right in your home in California alone, right?
Wow.
So
I was one of them.
Yes.
I was one of them.
Right, right. And so there's these troubling numbers because it's a question, Bruce, of how many of those people that have signed up, A, were uninsured, or and B, were people who've only signed up because they had their current insurances canceled, right? So, I mean, really, there's just, you know, it's really hard to say we have 7.1 million people signing up, yet the administration isn't able to distinguish and tell us what type of people these people are. Here's another thing that's strange.
Wait. Let's stop there for a minute. It doesn't confuse me at all that within overnight from March 30th
million
to March 31st,
people showed up, right?
They could figure out that there were 7.1 million, but they can't figure out who any of them are. And
right,
they can't
right.
tell us who the demographic, how many young people.
Right.
And they certainly don't want to tell us how many of the 5 million that didn't get insurance, got their insurance canceled, are the ones among the 7.1. Those numbers, somehow, those aren't available. But the immediacy of overnight getting all of a sudden from 6 to 7.1
million. It was like a million.
Yeah, it went from
6 to 7.1 million overnight.
They're probably doing a million a day now, I'm sure.
Right. And here's the other thing that troubles me. Originally, remember, when they first rolled this out, there was this whole question about how many people had signed up for Medicaid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, if the point of Obamacare was to help all of these people who were uninsured, when you kind of look at the numbers here, and again, you know, nothing's really clear, it doesn't seem like those who are uninsured, the whole purpose of devising this Obamacare program, they're not really signing up. Seems as though they're signing up for Medicaid and not for Obamacare, which is why we came up with this whole program for all these people who are uninsured. So the bottom line is, they still can't give us the numbers on how many people are signing up for Obamacare who were actually uninsured. It seems like, from what we can see and decipher, that the people who are signing up for Obamacare are those people who already had insurance, they liked their insurance, and their insurance has been canceled because of Obamacare.
I tend to agree with you, but I also think that there's a case of fuzzy math and fuzzy thinking that just seems to permeate everything about this administration. Let's take Mike Morrell's testimony yesterday.
He just thought
it wasn't a good idea on his own, just independently, to talk about terrorists or to lie about a video being the motivation for why our brave Americans were killed in Benghazi. And he did it with such calm, and I mean, the ability
smugness.
Of some of these people to lie is unbelievable.
I thought it was smug, really. I thought the whole kind of tone was just rather eerie and strange.
Yes, because they know so much better than us Americans,
right.
Us poor people that voted them in and pay their salaries.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
I
just don't understand how this can go on. I just do not understand how this can keep on going on. I just am in awe of Obama and his team's ability to constantly keep the press at bay. I mean, there's been hardly any mention of the IRS,
mm-mm.
Benghazi, among the mainstream media. We had just the flight Malaysia. CNN could devote 24/7 to that. And by the way, it deserves some coverage. But when Americans are killed?
Here's another ironic, example here. So four people died in Benghazi, and, you know, the media doesn't really want to give that much attention. Frank Wolf, a congressman from Virginia, has been trying to get a select committee done on Benghazi because, as you know, and probably some of your listeners, when you do a select committee, you have more investigative powers, you can get more information. It just allows you to go much further beyond a regular congressional hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've got some special powers. So that hasn't been able to get done. However, let's compare that to Bridgegate in New Jersey and how much time that the media has spent, you know, deciphering and analyzing Bridgegate. We've got some pretty competent former prosecutors who did the investigation and cleared Governor Christie.
For those that don't know, Bridgegate is the non-scandal that has dominated a lot of left-leaning media in their effort to demonize Governor Christie.
To disparage Christie's reputation. But let's just add a very important point here, Bruce. No one died during Bridgegate. No one died. We have four people that died in Benghazi, four people's families who are still waiting for an answer.
Well, our next president, wait. What difference does it make at this point? That's what our next Democratic presidential contender says. Come on, who cares? What difference does it make? Let's move on. The fact that I wasn't on point and I didn't do anything at all to help or support our Americans, who cares? What difference does it make?
Right.
That's Hillary Clinton, and she's still leading. I do not understand it.
Yeah, sadly, that this happened on her watch.
Not to mention our whole diminution of America as a power in the world has gone in the toilet during the 6 years of the Obama administration and the 3 or 3.5 years in which Hillary was gallivanting around the world doing nothing.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and no question that our country is a more dangerous place on Barack Obama's watch. I don't think anyone would say that North Korea is a safer place, Syria, Iran. In fact, these dictators have become more emboldened.
Absolutely.
And more assertive.
Yeah, but Putin is really afraid of Obama. I think that's where you're wrong. I think Putin is quaking in his boots every time President Obama calls and gives him a warning.
Right. Well, sadly, you know, that's
Did you see the skit Jimmy Fallon did with Governor Palin? Oh, my God. It was
hysterical. No, I did not see that.
Oh, you got to YouTube it. He plays Putin. He does such a great job. And and Governor Palin's on, and of course they make reference to the fact that she predicted this to happen, and she was talking about the dangers of the Soviet Union, or the former Soviet Union. And Fallon's been doing a great Putin for a while. And what's also shocking to me in a wonderful way is not only is Fallon, but some of the other late-night comics are actually finally making a little fun of Obama. Before they couldn't, because there's nothing funny about Barack Obama. There isn't anything funny about him. There's a lot of tragedy. But now they actually are skewering him. That's given me a little hope.
Interesting. That's a different shift because, you know, we hadn't seen that before, Bruce. So that's interesting.
I think it's a positive sign. I think when the comics are willing to take on their man and take on the political correct risk of being called racist because of any potential criticism of him on the basis of the fact that he happens to be African-American, I think that's really they don't care anymore. They think it's just too ripe and it's too prominent in most Americans' minds. The Obamacare problems, the Russia, his appeasement of all these dictators that have only diminished his and our country's credibility. So it is an encouraging sign that the comics are skewering him now.
Yes, look at when Hollywood comes around, you know, that's saying something. When Hollywood starts to notice and starts getting into the fun and making fun, as you said so aptly, their guy, then, you know, we're on to something there, Bruce.
I have gone over time, Cheryl, and I got to cut off right now. Quickly tell our listeners where you can be found.
Yes, your listeners can find me on Twitter, at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Lebon, L-E-B as in boy, O-N. They can also find me on Facebook.
Terrific. Thank you, Sherilyn.
Sorry to cut you
off quickly, but I got to go. Time for a break. We'll be back with Pastor Drew in a couple minutes.
That covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up. It can let you down. Take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love.